Marie Young.
This is your Daily Dose of Happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today.
And we're in preparation mode because our own Alex King is scheduled to be married tomorrow, which is why she isn't here today. But Anne Marie is sitting in and Daniel's going to be joining us soon. And yeah, it's kind of exciting, Anne Marie, to have a wedding going on here on the show. I mean, that's pretty cool. And there's going to be another one in the future with Debbie. Debbie G also is going to get married. So,
Maybe you should change it to Love and Attraction.
Yeah. Okay. That works. Well, we've been playing with these different combinations. We actually got an email about this, by the way. Let me get the email up here. It's pretty good. This comes from Jody. Jody says, I'm a faithful listener and I look forward to having all of you at dinner. It sounds very cannibalistic. No, having you all at dinner each evening. That's the time I listen to your show. I love all you are doing and I couldn't help wanting to chime in on helping you think up ideas on LOA. She says, I like Life of Attraction. That's an interesting one. I think this could be a new segment. She says, maybe engage the listeners to send in their Life of Attraction stories and use some of the stories as content/springboards for discussion with your hosts. Maybe feature a story or two as a weekly segment. Anyway, I know I have a story or two to share. Have a great day and keep up the good work. So, Jody, first of all, send in the story. We love that.
I want to hear that now. You can't leave us on a cliffhanger.
Well, apparently she can, but yes, I understand what you mean. Yeah, we'd love that. But hey, anytime that a listener sends us anything, whether it's a question, a story, whatever, you know, that we can share on the show, boy, I mean, she's absolutely right. It just makes it so much more fun because that gives us a great topic to talk about. And it feels good from the point of view of us here on the show because we feel more like we're engaging with the audience. And Amber, yes. You know what it's like. I mean, when we're doing a show, it's like we're just talking to each other. We don't really have any clear sense of what the audience is doing or thinking or whatever. So getting any kind of input is great. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it just, because it's so much fun. It just feels like you're having a conversation with your friends. And then when you get comments come in or emails, it just feels like, yeah, we've got more friends. It's a bigger party. So
exactly.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. No, I love it too. So, all right. Yeah. Well, by all means, Jody, send in anything that you want to share. And any of the listeners, if you have a Life of Attraction story or any other variation on LOA that you want to submit a story on, send it in. Send it to my email. That's probably the best way. walt@loatoday.net. And yeah, we'll definitely start using those on the show because that's fun. So anyway, today, Anne-Marie reached out to me because she was loving the show we did. What was it, about 10 days ago, something like that? Taya Tuesday?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Taya Tuesday. It was such a good show.
It was fun to do, too.
And I have to say, I watched this Tuesdays as well. I watched that today, and I thought that was brilliant as well, just going through Janine's, like, whole emotional thing. Oh, it's beautiful. So
it
good.
Is beautiful.
But it just makes me realize, again, that just, like, how amazing Tyre is and, you know, what it does for us, what it gives us.
Well, I figure that's a good thing to start, so why not start today? We'll just make it, like, a temporary Tyre Thursday, since obviously Alex will be back after she's done honeymooning and all that good stuff. But for the moment, we can do a temporary Tyre Tuesday and then Tyre Thursday rather. And Daniel, of course, has been through Tyre as well. He's a Tyre master, for goodness sake. Well, you've heard my interviews with him about that. What his commentary is? Yeah, he's kind of like ho hum, like, yeah, okay, that's. I'm not sure that I'm a master of anything, but sure, why not?
Oh, I would say it's because I've been following Dan for many, many years. I think, you know, when he first joined your podcast, I was just beginning to follow him then, and I've done quite a lot. And it's actually seeing Dan join Tyre was my last big tick. Yeah, go for it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
So I thought, well, if Dan's going to learn something from it, geesh, I'm going to just soar.
It's true. And anybody can learn something from it. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you've accumulated, how much experience you have, how good you are at being a manifestor. Everybody can learn from it. Because ultimately, that's one of the big deals that we all experience. We run into roadblocks and, you know, blocks of various kinds, resistance points and so forth. And that's what Tyre helps us work through. So, hey, look who's here.
Oh, God, I'm Marie.
How are you? I went so high pitched. How are you?
I thought it was a mistake. Like, and he put the thing in the wrong. Because it's
no mistake. Well, I'll be here, honestly, because she's got the wedding tomorrow, so she's got of her course. Mantle right she's now. She's
busy getting married and whatnot.
And Anne-Marie reached out because she loved, we were just talking about how she loved a show we did about 10 days ago that we called Taya Tuesday with Janine and Bridget. And so I said, well, why don't you come on today? Because Alex can't be here. And we'll just do it like a one-time Taya Thursday. Because, yeah, I mean, you're a Taya guy. You're a Taya master, for goodness sake. So we can do Taya here.
Amazing. Sorry, yeah. I'm late. I was in the throes of a business call that actually ended up being not only me gifting someone an idea for them to have a $1 million business that I'm actually going to give them the clients for. It actually solves a massive problem for me and probably adds another million to my business. So I'm like, everyone.
Okay. Okay. That's cool.
Wow.
Well, you're not that late actually, because we had some audio troubles. So we got started 15 minutes late. So you're really not that late. That's okay.
Okay. Brilliant.
No big
brilliant.
Deal. Yeah. Brilliant. But so let's go back to the tire topic for a second, because both of you guys are graduates. I'm like 3/4 of the way through right now, the boot camp. Anne-Marie, you're a graduate of the boot camp. Daniel's been through the boot camp. He's in the mastery program. I want to start, first of all, with what caught your attention, Anne-Marie, that made you want to do this in the first place. So talk about that for a second, and let's delve into it a little bit. But what made you excited about doing this?
I think it was watching David and the stream on LOA Today that like caught my attention, but it was also a lot of the polarity is knowing that, you know, for me, it was like I couldn't always be high vibe as much as I tried. You know, I just was, you know, I have my life things that, you know, happen and things going on. So it just resonated with me in the fact that, you know, He says, yeah, that's life, and we can guide you through it, and you can live in appreciation of those moments, which at the time you're like, really? Are you sure? And then, like I was just saying before Dan popped on, I don't know if your ears were burning, but I was saying, I saw Dan joined the tire practice, and then I thought, wow, if Dan can learn something from it, then I think I might learn something.
That's hilarious. someone else asked me a similar question the other day. They were like, I thought you had your life together. Why did you do entire? Like, nobody's got their life together. everybody's just trying to survive. Everyone's just trying to survive, and tie is a very cool way. And plus, you get to like speak to infinite consciousness.
Yeah.
Like, just
pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That's what kind of drew me in the first time, because obviously we had David here on the show, and after he was a co-host for like 6 months, and then, you know, we would do periodic visits from him after that. And those conversations where I get to kind of interview the stream, or sometimes I'm asking questions on behalf of the listeners, but a lot of the time I'm just asking my own stuff, and that's fun. That's just like widespread, open the door exploration. Let's just explore a topic and see what comes out. And like Cindy Chavez got her first chance to hear the stream yesterday. And like I said to her, it's really interesting when you ask the stream a specific question, because you get your answer and then you get a whole stream of other stuff that comes with it.
Yeah.
It's rarely
your answer in isolation. Definitely get some extras.
Oh, no doubt about it. And it actually can be a little bit overwhelming when you're not used to it. It takes a little time to get used to it. Once you get used to it, then you realize that, wow, the world is my oyster. There are 25 questions I can ask on that one. Which do I want to ask next? Because there's so many things that come out at the same time. It's pretty cool.
See, I did a podcast recently where David was channeling, and there was a group of us graduates asking different questions. And he actually answered my questions like in other sessions. When it's coming up to me, I'm like, I need another question. And then after about like, I'd had my question and a couple of people had did, and then was running out of questions. I was like, I've got another question. It's just, yeah, it's addictive.
It's addictive, and because so much information comes out and it's so nicely organized. That's the other thing that's really impressive about it. When the information comes out, it stimulates the mind That's what I meant when I said that I have 25 questions afterward. It stimulates my mind so much that I think, okay, carry this out to the nth degree. Wait a minute, what happens after the nth degree? Carry that one out to the next step. What happens after the next step? And you know, it just stimulates. So I understand to some degree why it is that David talks about how when he's done channeling that he's buzzing, because yeah. I get the intellectual buzz out of it. He probably gets the full body buzz, but I get the intellectual buzz just, you know, trying to follow everything that the stream is putting out. But it's fun. It's challenging. It's cool. So, all right. Well, let's go into your Tire experience, in particular, Anne-Marie, because you're the one who really was interested in doing the Tire Tuesday. Let's play off that a little bit. What if you had to like name one thing, or maybe two or three things that were your big takeaways when you were done with the boot camp? What were they?
My big takeaways would be to not live in fear.
Mm.
To meet things with appreciation and just the whole toolkit that you get with it. So that if something does happen, you just instantly go for that. And it's weird how it just becomes so instant.
Yes.
And so yes. Natural. Whereas, you know, I was quite, when I was gloomy, I was really gloomy and I couldn't get myself out of it before. And I used to beat myself up. Well, now I can get myself out of it a lot, lot quicker and a lot, lot smoother. So I think, yeah, it was don't live in fear, which is why I've taken so many sort of big leaps since graduating. Mm. I mean, just doing these shows. And again, even coming on today was like, eek, but
Well, there's always that fear of public speaking element that I think yeah. everybody experiences to one degree or another. That's understandable. Yeah. Yeah.
Very.
But the fact that you're leaving the fear behind in a broad sense is going to cover a lot of areas, including the public speaking. So it basically empowers you to take the step you were kind of afraid to take before, which is cool.
Absolutely. And it also, not to big you up too much, Dan, but it complements all the stuff that I've learned to Dan. And actually, I was having a conversation with Deborah Wilson, who's also an LOA listener and a Tire graduate. And I was literally just talking about something that Dan says. We were talking about like my procrastination. I mentioned it on Monday show that I've been procrastinating and what is that about? And I said, well, for me, it's just like Dan says, it's just baby steps and micro shifts, and that's what I need to do. And so, yeah, I'm still learning from you, Dan. Don't worry. But it complements really well, like what I have learned. And then it's given me the other aspect that I needed.
That's one of the really cool things, because it does dovetail with almost all the teachings we've ever been exposed to, I think.
Yeah.
Dances and
brings it all together.
It does.
It brings
yeah.
it all together. There's some things even that since then that I heard in different places I didn't really get the impact of, because I hadn't heard the Tire material. Mm-hmm. And then having had the Tire material, it was like, oh, I get that now in like a completely mm-hmm. different, deeper way. And it's like, oh, amazing.
Yep. Yeah.
Love it.
And that happened. That's how we know we're learning. That's how mm-hmm. we know that we're continuing the expansion, because we get those little nuggets and the nuggets kind of stick in the head. And sometimes they take a while.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what you were just describing. Sometimes it takes a while to kind of sink in and then, you know, touch the right nerve, so to speak. And then once it touches that nerve, just have a V8 moment. I mean, it's just really weird how that happens periodically out of nowhere, but it's because we set the stage. We fed the information to ourselves and then we let it do its thing. That's the other thing I noted in what you said that really has been true for me, that I learn the tools, I do the modules, and then a shift happens and I say, how did that happen? Because I wasn't trying to do the shift.
Mm-hmm.
My prior experience said, try to do this, try to apply that, try to learn this, try. That doesn't happen in Tire boot camp.
It's a natural flow.
Yeah. And it's spooky sometimes. It's fun, but it's spooky how, you know, all of a sudden stuff that used to haunt me kind of melts away, or something comes up that used to bother me. And now that I'm detuning it, I'm laughing at it. And then once I laugh at it, this other thing that was completely seemingly unrelated also went away. Like, wait a minute, what's going on here? You almost get whiplash trying to follow that.
And the like one of the big things that I had as a takeaway from my time definitely was judgment.
Yeah, I'm still working on that one.
judgment and self-acceptance. And how much energy comes back to create when it's not tied up in the ick.
Yes.
So not having it tied up in ick, just detune. You can go in down your spiral. Because we go down our spirals. Oh, my God, I'm down my spiral. Whereas, it's, oh, okay, that's just contrast. And cool, here's an obstacle. Cool. Kind of done with this now. Next.
That's it. It's not just obstacles either. Oh, so go ahead, Anne-Marie.
No, I was just going to say, I've had recently what they call a bit of a spin out. So where, you know, you go sort of down the spiral sort of into that whole polarity thing. And rather than freaking out, I was just like a case of like, okay, so I'm going to learn from this. It's not particularly pleasant, but I can live with this. And yeah, what is it? So it's been going on a while and these things have been happening. And then it's like, oh, there you go.
It just brings all the power back so beautifully.
Really does. Yeah.
No doubt about that. It's not just the resistance points and blockages either. I'll give you an example. I was out in my my daily walk, and I often like to, well, today actually I was working on module I'm on, because it's the module where you're supposed to build your empire in your mind. So I figure, well, I do an hour walk. I'm supposed to do that for an hour. Yeah, let's do that. That's cool. So I do it while I'm walking along. But I also take the time to kind of just visualize other stuff besides my empire. You know, what other stuff do I want? Like, for instance, Louise and I are going to Alex's wedding tomorrow. And then Saturday, we're going to go out to Martha's Vineyard. And the weather forecast has been for Saturday to be rainy and cold. And, well, we don't really want that. So I was visualizing an improved weather situation. But I had a different experience of that this time. Because what I normally do is I imagine what the scene is like that I want it to be, my ideal scene, kind of feel that and so forth. And I think what I've tried to do is kind of project that into the future, so to speak. Like, you know, Saturday, this is the way I want it to be. Today, I kind of flipped it around. I said, because today was gorgeous. Today was an absolutely beautiful day. Just picturesque, perfect temperature, everything. So I'm really enjoying, I'm really digging what the environment is like as I'm walking along. And I said to myself, today is Saturday. I didn't project it into the future. I made today Saturday. And by making today Saturday, it made it, first of all, easier. And second of all, it made it more real, because as long as I could convince myself that today was Saturday, I was feeling the rest of it. The rest of the day was very, very simple. Now, I've never done it that way before. And the only reason I can think of to suggest why I changed it is because Taya kind of helped rewire me. What do they call it? Putting in your new operating system. You know, I put in my new operating system, and my new operating system is operating a little bit better, a little bit more efficiently. And all of a sudden, bam, it gave me a better way to do it. So I can't really call that removing a resistance point. It's just kind of a shift in thinking more than anything else.
Well, the resistance point existed at that point because you were on a trajectory that included that resistance point. The second that you changed who and what you were in that moment, the trajectory you're on didn't include that thing, so there was nothing to resist against. And what I'm finding more and more is that resistance points are me pushing up against, out of the infinite number of future possibilities, I'm pushing up against the one that I'm addicted to and therefore in a trajectory with, and that's the emotion that's resonating back to me and I'm getting pushback from. When that no longer exists because I'm not focused on it, then I don't have the thing to push back at me and I don't have the resistance anymore.
Okay, that's a good way to look at it. I like that. Either way, I don't care. Hey, it's an improvement. Well, whichever way I look at it, I'll take the result. That's the best part.
Absolutely. But you've also done that work, so you deserve that result.
Yeah, well, we all do, actually.
Yeah.
Including those who haven't perhaps done the Taya, but have done other kinds of work. I mean, it's like the stream said yesterday, you know, it doesn't really matter what kind of program it is you're trying to, you know, decide whether to get into or not. Decide whether or not you vibrate to it. What really matters is, do you vibrate to it? Does it feel good to you? That should be the basis for making the decision. And as long as the decision is based on that, then you're going to make the right decision no matter what. Whether it's, you know, doing the Taya work or, you know, working with a coach or taking a class or whatever it might be. It really comes down to that one thing. Does it vibrate to you? Do you resonate with it? Now, you mentioned fear as one of as probably the primary takeaway, that you no longer fear fear. That's pretty good.
Well, I'm working on it.
You're working on it. Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be doing these podcasts if I didn't get rid of that, if I didn't work through the fear. So it's not like I don't have the fear anymore. I still have the fear, but I don't let it control me, and I don't let it hinder me as much as I used to. And like when I started boot camp, I did it while I started a new job, and it really helped, because the amount of times I was like doing work that I didn't understand that I hadn't done before. And then it was like, well, don't panic, because you're not going to get the resolution for this issue while you're in fear. So just relax and it will come. And just like, again, having that trust, not living in that fearful moment, and just working through it. Yeah. And just a lot of amazing things have happened from that.
Well, that's a big breakthrough when you're able to decide that fear is no longer in control, that you are the one who is in control. Because I think that's probably the worst part about anything like fear, any of the so-called negative emotions, is they feel worse when we don't feel like we can do anything about them.
Yeah.
Or more precisely, they feel worse when we feel like we can't do anything about the situation that inspired them.
Yes.
But once we realize that we have the ability, and that's the great breakthrough you're talking about, the great ability to just no longer be afraid of the fear and feel like you can do what it takes to move through it or move aside or whatever it is you're going to do. All of a sudden, the negative associations we have with it no longer work, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
They don't play anymore. They don't play with them, play well with themselves. They're just, you know, it just doesn't work anymore the way it did, which is a good thing, because that means you're no longer tied down. We're freed. That's basically what the word is. We are freed of all that angst and fear and belief that we can't do anything about this negative situation we're dealing with.
Absolutely. And you're also more aware of the fear, whereas before I probably would have just put it down to another emotion, or I just don't want to do that, or yeah, it's not my cup of tea. Well, actually, now I know what it really is, so I can deal with it there and then.
And of course, when we actually deal with it, we find out it really isn't as bad as we thought it was.
Absolutely not. I mean, I'm having so much fun doing this. This is not my comfort zone, but I'm learning, I'm loving.
Well, you're building a new comfort zone is what you're doing.
Well,
a new, broader one. Yeah.
And then I will step out of that.
That's right. That's what this is all about. It's just expand, expand, expand. And that expansion leads to all kinds of cool stuff. So when you talk with people who ask about what you did, I'm specifically addressing that segment rather than people in general who know what you did but didn't really ask about it. Because until somebody asks about it, in my mind, they aren't really interested. They're more conversational. Oh, you're doing this boot camp thing. Yeah, it sounds like a bunch of woo-woo to me, but whatever. But if they're really asking about it, that usually references some kind of feeling of interest, of like, like there's a little bit of an opening in the mind, so to speak. So when you're talking to that group that has expressed some interest in it, what do you tell them?
Do you know what? Not huge amounts of people have asked me about it.
Okay.
But people who have, I've just explained how it's using, basically explained about the source and my belief in source, mm-hmm. and that everything's energy, and that we create what we are, and that I've learned my tools to go out there and create what I want from my life. And it's also, you know, it's also just, I don't think you even have to be spiritual to do it. I think you just, it's a mindset, and it's a very positive mindset practice for many people. Even if you believe in the woo-woo or don't, I think there's certainly stuff you can take from it. So I try to explain to people who not really understanding that that's, it's more a mindset practice for me with spirituality involved.
That's a very interesting point you're raising. It's an objection that was also raised about Abraham Hicks, that, well, you know, it's channeling, and channeling is evil, and, you know, people get all kinds of stuff about that. And I'm sure there are going to be some people who have similar reservations about David channeling the stream. But, and this is a big but, if you just kind of take the channeling aspect out, like you said, remove the spiritual side of it and just deal with what the thing is in terms of, you know, physical world, how, you know, what can you do with this in the physical world? The messages are wonderful. Yeah. Take the channel element out and the messages are still wonderful. So that's the way I look at it. If somebody asks me about it, I say, don't worry about the channeling part. If that bugs you, don't worry about it. It's just not that important. What's really in question is the information good? Is it useful? If you think that you could apply this into your life and have a positive result, isn't that a good thing? That's the way I would encourage anybody to evaluate it. And by the way, if you also like the spiritual side, so much the better. I like that too. You know, but you don't have to get hung up on the spiritual side. You can still evaluate it in a very positive way.
That's the power of that practice. It's not dependent on some intergalactic moo-boo in order to have its substance. It's not dependent on that. There's a substance to it, a real world application of it. It's a real world application of spiritual practice.
Yeah, you do kind of end up in spirituality, even if you don't want to be there.
Where am I? Is it spirituality? It appears I have spirits with myself again.
That's right.
You're so clumsy.
Happens sometimes.
That's true. I had a conversation that was not a conversation so much as an email exchange I was having with somebody. I even talked a little bit about it on the show the other day. And this guy is definitely not into any of this stuff at all. But one of the things that came out of that exchange was realization that even when you try to keep spirituality out of the conversation, with so many topics, it comes in anyway. Mm. You can try to avoid it. You can try to talk around it, which I often do. But bottom line, it's going to work its way in. Usually, if I'm trying to talk around it and not bring in spirituality, I find that the person I'm talking to is the one who brings it in, and they don't even realize they're doing it. Because they're expressing their beliefs. And the moment you're expressing your beliefs is the moment you're in the spirituality realm. Sorry, guys, just the way it works. One leads to the other. But that happens a lot, I think. And I now have gotten to the point. I used to be really kind of worked up about, I want to stay away from spiritual stuff many, many years ago. I didn't want to have anything to do with spiritual. And now it's like, okay, yeah, spiritual, let's go. No big deal. Mm. You know, because what I learned along the way is I learn a whole lot more when I allow spirituality in. Mm. That's really a good thing. So, all right. What else has been a big takeaway for you from the Taya? This is the temporary Taya Thursday. So we have to dive into the thing.
So what else have I taken away? I'm trying to be a coach at the moment, and all I've just taken away at the moment is just how awesome the people are. I just love them.
Did you say you're going to become a coach?
Yeah, I'm trying to be a Thai coach.
Cool. I didn't know you were doing that. That's great.
Yeah, no, literally. That was part of my mind movie when I was doing the modules, to be a coach in it. And I've got other things that I'd like to do with Taya that I'd like to speak to David on. I'd like to do Taya Kids and use some of the tools and go around schools. So there's a lot of things in my head around it because I think it could be beneficial. And again, it doesn't have to be. I know. It's like I've all grown up and everything, haven't I?
I especially like Taya Kids. I mean, regardless of whether it happens in schools, there are going to be kids somewhere who are going to benefit from it. And making it available in a way that kids can absorb and appreciate, that's a great idea. Mm. I love that.
So I've kind of got a few things in my head. I need to sit down and put up what's in my head onto paper and try and make that work. So what else have I taken from boot camp?
I mean, I just back on the kids topic for a second. I'm just remembering that Abraham Hicks, they have, I think, three books that explain law of attraction to kids. I can't remember what they're called, but that was their contribution to how do you teach this stuff to children. And I'd love to see a similar kind of thing for Taya, especially since one of the theories of Taya, one of the root theories is what they call the root transgressors, which occur and develop in our early years. I think the range they gave was like 2 to 5 or something like that, or 5 to 7 or something like that. But their early year experiences, well, that's what the kids are going through when they're that age. Mm. So how about taking advantage of the fact that they're in the midst of that programming? Yeah, exactly. Get them while they're young. And not just young, get them while they are experiencing it, while they're in the process of absorbing it. Imagine what happens if kids who are in the process of absorbing stuff that is going to be blocking them later on make shifts right then and there. So the transgressors can't even become transgressors.
Yeah.
I mean, just
how could that change people? And that they are like sponges. Like my daughter, when I explained I was coming on with Dan tonight, and my daughter's like, oh, Dan, the one who lives in the States. I was like, well, it's Mexico, but she knew who Dan was. And I said, well, I was watching Tuesday, so I reached Tuesday's show, and I reached out to Walt, and she was like, oh, yeah, I watch Tuesday's show as well. And I'm like, you know. So it's obviously, it's me doing it is going into their lives.
That's great.
Automatically. It's kind of changed the way I parent as well. I don't beat myself up about messing them up because that's my job. I had you. All I had to do was birth you.
Sorry. Bye. Have
your
life.
See ya. Still doing my best, but you know, I try not to beat myself up about things anymore, and you know, just made me a bit of a more relaxed parenting style.
And yeah, it's gonna take some pressure off.
So yeah, it does. That's so I'm still parenting quite well. I still think I'm a good mother, but it's guilt free.
You're not putting pressure on yourself to perform as a good mother, you're just enjoying the process of being a mum.
Exactly. And I don't care how I come across to other mums anymore. It's about me and them.
Yeah, that's really good. It reminds me of some of the conversations that you and I have had with Louis D'Souza on Monday, because he has a very, he's not a Taya graduate, so I can't call it that, but he has a very LOA approach with his kids. His approach is basically he teaches them the basics and then he sets them off to go do their thing and doesn't interfere in any of it, which is quite a feat actually for a parent. But even more than that, if they come to him for something, he says, well, what if I taught you about how to attract it into your lives? He doesn't try to solve the problems for them. He really applies it to, okay, this is how the world works. This is what makes the things in the world tick. So I've taught it to you. What are you going to do with it? I think that's great.
I question my kids differently now. It'll be like, okay, so what do you want to happen? And what are you going to be? What do you want to be? What's your decision? You know, just questioning in a different way rather than just go put your shoes on. You know, that it's just a different way of talking. And don't get me wrong, I can still be angry, screamy mum. But I no longer beat myself up about it.
And because you're not beating yourself up, you're also empowering them more. I mean, there's a big difference between what you want and go put your shoes on. Those are two entirely different vibrations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also, I kind of let my vulnerability out to them because I had a conversation probably about 6 weeks ago to my eldest daughter. She's only 9 years old. But just saying, like, I don't actually know what I'm doing. I'm trying my best, but we're going to make mistakes and we've got to work it out together. And, you know, you didn't come with a handbook. I haven't got a clue. I might be a grown up, but we don't know everything. So let's just talk and work it out.
That's empowering. That's really empowering because it's honest. That's a level of honesty that kids don't often hear from their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's honest, it also clues them in on what the parents real limits are. You know, how far can a parent actually do stuff? And it kind of demystifies what parents are all about. And I think in that process, because it demystifies it, it basically gives the child the ability to say, oh, well, I'm not so far from being able to do what the big people do.
There's I feel a like permission it's a slip now. In there.
There is
a permission slip in there.
Yeah, and that permission slip is a big, big deal because mm-hmm. that's where self confidence starts to grow.
Hmm.
Really, really good. So, yeah, I do like the Tyler Kids thing. Follow through on that one, regardless.
I love how you just gave permission. It's like we don't need David's permission. You just go and do it. I dub thee.
Hey, you know, yesterday I told David that we were going to kind of play on the Taya theme and do the same thing with LOA, coming up with different variations. What does LOA stands for? We've come up with, like, you know, laws of attraction, of course, but there's also life of abundance and loving our abundance and living our abundance. And there's a variety of them like that. I said, I just want to get your permission on that. He says, oh, it's no problem. I got my team of lawyers ready to sue the pants off of you. So,
joking.
So, you know, you can feel safe now because he's going to be too busy suing me. You can just go for it.
Great. I'll just sweep in there. Thanks, Walt. I appreciate you getting sued for me.
No problem at all. Glad to help.
So, Dan, how is your gorgeous Ethan?
So he's got this thing now where you put him in, we've got him the little, because he had the push walker and he was never walking anywhere. He was just sort of banging on stuff and not realizing he could move. But now he's doing the walkie thing where you hold his hand and he walks. So now he gets that one. So we got him the little sit-in one for him to get excited about moving around.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got excited about moving around. He plays games with Ariana. So he chases her around and he's got his favorite rooms he tries to break into. He's worked out how to open a couple of the cupboards.
Ah.
So yeah, the handful has begun, but yes. he's loving running around. He's just like, you put him in and before he's even sat down, he's already died off. And he's worked out this little thing that he can get a run up and jump and take his feet off the ground and slide longer. And he's doing that now as well. So it's wild.
So much fun.
Wild. Yeah.
Gotta love a father's appreciation.
Yeah. It's, I've got like my little videos of him and my little pictures. And I didn't realize just how much, like, whenever I'm going to spin out, it's impossible to see him doing his speedy runs after his sister. It's like you literally see him, like, chasing her, like, trying to reach out. It's hilarious. It's amazing. It's amazing. Thank you. Well, yeah.
I can get that because my... Sorry, Dan.
No, I was going to say he's nearly one. I just remembered he's nearly one and my brain exploded a little bit, you were saying.
It goes so quickly. It really does. Yeah. But I was going to say, yeah, when I'm like feeling spin out-y, I'm just literally look at photos. They go to bed. You can't wait for them to go to bed to get that time to yourself. And then you just sit there on your phone, look at the pictures again. I made these little people and they're just so amazing. And then they wake up.
Yeah, your little ones are adorable. I didn't say Ariana's like 5 going on 16, and she's got these little catchphrases, and I don't know where she gets them from. So her mum forgot to plug her iPad in to charge it, and she goes, "Mum, you forgot to charge my iPad. That's not fair. You've hurt my feelings. I'm so sad about this." Where do you learn this combination of statements? I'm just looking in awe. The other day, her mum gave her little packed lunch to go to school. "Mum, what did you put in this bag? It's far too heavy for me. It's too..." "What did you put in this bag?" "Dude, you're 5 years old. But where did you learn this? I don't get it."
She was born the exact... Yeah, she was born the exact same day as Philippa, wasn't she? As my daughter, they're both December the 12th?
11th on this end.
11th, okay. So they're practically the same day. But we had...
time difference-wise, it could be the same time, actually.
Well, that's true. It could be, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Soul sisters. Mm-hmm. But we had the talk with the teacher, And the teacher was like, her sense of humor. She was like, I was talking to, you know, I was just telling another child off and going, well, he's going to have to do this. And Philippa just turned around to the teacher and went, well, he's not going to like that.
Amazing. Small humors are just fabulous. Because I've got so many nephews and nieces, I thought I'd get it. And then when you're watching it close up every day, it's just like, when he started learning to wave, like, who told you how to do that? And watching him learn to eat has been one of the most amazing things. Because it was first, like, the first time he had food, he had a little bit of avocado. We got it on video, obvs. And then you, like, see him, like... food. Like now, like he refuses to bite something in half. He wants to put all of it in his mouth. And we're like, okay, we're going to let you learn that you can't fit an entire grape in your mouth. So he's like, this grape goes everywhere. And he's trying to talk and it comes out. And then he's like, I need pieces. I'll bite it now.
The light bulb goes on.
It's wild. Wild.
Louise and I have never had children, but we did have the experience of opening a school, and it was an alternative school, Sudbury school, where kids could basically be in charge of their own day. And you get a similar experience working with those kids. The one difference being perhaps that those kids who we opened that school with had all already been in the public school system and had already been acclimated to it. And now they were de-acclimating. They were, in a sense, relearning their power, relearning their ability to choose. And in the process of doing that, it's fun to watch how they try to treat any adult as an authority figure, because that's what they've been taught. All adults are authority figures. That's what the school system teaches them. And now they're in a system where none of the adults act as authorities. And it's kind of like, you know, wheels in sand. They just don't turn. The wheels will turn, but the vehicle doesn't go anywhere. And so they're trying to figure that one out, but they do figure it out. And the ways that they figure it out are going to be different from one person to the next. They are all going to use tools that they already know and kind of realign them for this new experience. And the creative ways they come up with to do that, that's where it's really, really interesting to watch. You can almost see the minds turning as they're trying out different combinations. I love that. I mean, that's the one thing I missed from when we had to move away and we couldn't be a part of the school anymore. It was just, I lived for that every day, just watching the kids. You could literally follow their learning process just by observing them. Really, really cool. So
I do have to run because I've got a call at the top of the hour.
Okay.
Sorry I was late and then left early, but.
Well, we're glad that
love you
came.
Guys.
I mean, seriously.
Love you guys.
So we'll see you next week.
So good to see you, Dan.
And you too. Love hearing about all the journey and the solstices. He's not going to like that. That's going to be burnt into my mind forever.
Right. All right, Daniel. Catch you next week.
Bye. Yeah. Oh, how good to see him again.
Yeah, yeah. What was he? Did he finish boot camp before you joined?
No, I think he joined probably about a month or 6 weeks before I did.
Okay, so you did.
So we were never in boot. We did do boot camps together because obviously I don't do the Tuesday boot camp because it's like middle of the morning.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so you didn't have that. That's one thing I did try to do. I did for a short while. I tried to do both the Tuesday and the Thursday so that I could experience both groups because what they do to listeners who are wondering what we're talking about, because people are involved from all over the planet in different time zones. They actually have to schedule different times for each of the two meetings so that if you're in one part of the world and, you know, the one meeting is being held at a time that for you is 4 o'clock in the morning, you don't have to go to that one. You can go to one that's during waking hours, which is a good idea, you know, so you can be a part of it and wake. So that they have different ones for that, but I did try to do both of them for a while and it's repetitive because they do the same topic for both days each week. But it's also interesting because part of the well, I guess it's fun, but it's also part of the learning experience of boot camp is what they call the check-in process, where every meeting, each of the people who are in boot camp are asked to talk about, you know, perhaps what the particular topic of discussion was for the day or what's going on with them in their modules or whatever. And stuff comes up in those check-ins that inevitably there's one or two that you could say, wow, that applies to me too. Right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, and that's really powerful. That's why the group approach is such a powerful approach because of the Me Too effect. But this particularly, I'm trying to convey it in a way that says how powerful it is in the tire environment. Because I've done other kinds of groups and they're all good, but there's something special, there's something specific about the way the tire process comes through in a group setting. And I guess what I'm thinking about is the same thing I talked about earlier, where you learn and you're focusing on this one thing and all of a sudden this other thing gets fixed over there that you didn't expect. The same thing happens in the group experience, I think.
Absolutely. And I think it's a kind of course where you are so held. I mean, the community is just phenomenal and the support really you get. I mean, the one-on-one coaching, there's no limit to that if needed. The bootcamp calls, the Facebook pages. I mean, the support there. But also it's a practice that it's not a one-shot stop. Everybody has their tools and they're different. What works for one person. I love journaling. It hurts your hand. Mm-hmm. And watching people figure and navigate their way to this emotional freedom and everybody, because you kind of go down a spiral to start with. It is hard work. I'm not going to say it's easy. I found it really difficult in boot camp. But just listening and watching and seeing everybody grow and understanding when people are feeling bad, if they're feeling bad, what's perceived as bad, you know, just everybody's going through it together and there's that whole camaraderie. It's a very special time.
And very necessary.
And it just gets better.
It does get better.
Even when you graduate. I think a lot of people wonder, like, when you graduated boot camp and you've done boot camp, then what? Mm-hmm. But actually, this goes on.
Right. Yeah, which is very important. The thing that also occurs to me is that you're talking about how you're going through it. How'd you say it just now? You were talking about how you go into a spiral and, oh, I know what it was. Everybody has their own tools that they're into. Like you said, you like journaling. For me, the tool I like best is the 3-step process for climbing up the spiral. You know, but like you said, everybody has their own thing that they're really interested in. And when you take that thing that worked for you, I find anyway that when it comes to being of assistance, being of support to others in the group, I draw on that. I suspect you probably do the same thing with the journaling.
Yes.
You draw on the experience that you had the most power with, and that becomes the basis. You don't necessarily say, well, do this because that's the thing that works for me, but you draw upon your experience with it, and that's what you draw your information from that you're going to share, let's put it that way. So for instance, there's somebody in boot camp right now who I won't name, but she was really, really struggling. It was her first or second time in one of the group meetings. She was really struggling, and it was so obvious to me why she was struggling. Why was it obvious to me? Because it fit in perfectly with what my favorite tool is. And so I sent her a private message and made a suggestion to her, and it made all the difference in the world.
Wow. That message felt amazing.
It does. It feels great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said to her, you're going to be doing that too, because that's what we all end up doing.
And that doesn't stop. I had a conversation with Deborah earlier and we were still doing it with each other. She's like, oh, I figured this out, but I'm not sure why. And I'm like, well, I think it's because of this, this and this. And she's vice versa, literally just batting off each other. And it's just amazing.
It is. And it's cool. It's fun. The other thing that occurs to me too about the boot camp experience is you can do stuff like boot camp and get good experiences out of it. And it doesn't matter whether it's boot camp or anything else, as long as you're working on yourself. You mentioned, though, how hard it can be. And I think it's important to recognize what's hard it isn't like it's hard work in the sense of you have to, you know, put in hours and hours and hours and, you're trying to please the boss and all that kind of thing. It's not that kind of hard work at all. The hardness of it is you're kind of being pushed in a sense, but more accurately, you're pushing yourself to look at aspects of yourself that you have been unwilling to look at before. That's what's hard. Because if it was easy, you would have looked at it before.
Absolutely. And if it was easy, you wouldn't need boot camp, would you?
That's right. Yes.
But it was actually, you know, I didn't know where my blocks were or what they were.
Mm.
So that was one of the main things that attracted me to it, because it seemed to be the one thing that I've seen out there that was going to help me identify that. And it did. And some of it was a shock, you know, just, oh, why is that affected? I would never have thought of that. And then obviously you investigate it more. And nothing particularly bad came out of it for me. But I think for me, I did it while transitioning into a different stage of my life, how things were going on. So there was just so much going on. So I was detuning a lot. But my goodness, how freeing to, rather than just sit in all of that, to work through it,
mm-hmm.
and it's get that appreciation.
The detuning of the transgressors, that's one of the primary things you do early on in boot camp. You have a private stream session, and with the stream, you identify what they call your top three transgressors, the three elements from usually from early childhood that are perhaps continuing to haunt you and continuing to cause problems and encourage you to create blocks and resistance points and continue them ad infinitum. And you name them and you identify them so that you can work on them. So you can, in Thai terminology, detune them so that they no longer bother you. They no longer affect you. What I found though, when I did, I mean, I've already detailed here on the program what my transgressors were. They were, what the stream called my family curse. I still love that phrase. Basically, I have like generations of family members who failed in business and who had negative expressions about money. So that was my big one. The second one was my mom having a very confused view of life, and she ended up confusing me and everybody else in her life. And so dealing with my mom's confusion was kind of an unusual transgressor, because you could never put your finger on what was wrong. It was just very confusing. And then the third one, the one that surprised me, the one that to this day I'm still kind of amazed at, is my dad being angry about my mom's confusion. I had no real sense of that. I had no sense of that at all. Yeah, that didn't occur to me. And as I think about it, you know, he probably was frustrated by it. He certainly never showed it to us. But I can kind of think about times when he would have been a little bit frustrated with my mom. And yeah, the confusion part probably was feeding that. I just never made the association before. But the reason I mention all of that is I found that I didn't actually do a whole lot of detuning of my transgressors. I did on the first one. That was a big deal one. That's the journaling. Yeah. That's where I spent most of my time, was on that first one. The second one, I found I'd actually pretty much detuned that before I got into boot camp. There really wasn't a whole lot of work to be done there. And then the third one, I couldn't find anything that was bugging me there. So I didn't do anything. So my point is, my three transgressors weren't that big of a deal.
Same.
So how did I end up getting a big result? Because I have gotten some big results out of this. And that's what I'm referring to when I say I'm working on this over here and I get that over there and I don't know what the connection is between them. But I would do what they said to do. I would be detuning stuff that I thought was already detuned. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. So I went through and did that. And all of a sudden, other experiences over here changed. And I didn't know why. And I didn't know what was causing that.
Whatever it was, is just having that realization kind of was clear in that way, and come into it in appreciation. I mean, I used to blame my mother for so much. Mm. And oh, bless her, she got a really hard time, and she's got Alzheimer's now. So I got to talk to her about it. But now I just realized, like, oh, you actually did your best, and I'm really grateful. So it was really nice. I just feel like I got my relationship back with my mum. It's no longer a bitter thought process or anything like that. But then I was surprised, as one of my transgressors was actually starting school. And I was like, well, everybody starts school. Why is that such a trigger for me? And then as I investigated, we'd literally moved from another part of the UK. So away from everybody, we had no friends and no family around. And then suddenly my mum drops me off at school and says bye. And it's just like, I've literally been moved from everything that I know.
Sure.
And put in this place. And then I was like, oh, okay. So, okay, I can see why now.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, and I had to go, I had a lovely little journey detuning that one.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's really good. Yeah, certainly I can see where that would be a traumatic experience. But I can also see how you blow it off because you figure, well, like you said, everybody goes to school.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Absolutely.
I think that's one of the other things that we learn about transgressors, because your top three, once you've detuned them, they change and other transgressors come to the fore. And it becomes an ongoing process of noticing what it is and then detuning it. That's why it goes beyond boot camp. But the thing that I think that the whole transgressor process has shown me is that we end up giving lots of power to these so-called transgressors. And all we're really doing when we're detuning it is taking the power away.
Yes.
And once I understand it that way, now it becomes, I think that's why detuning is now so automatic. Because I understand that. All I'm doing is taking the power away that I gave it before.
Yeah. And I don't tend to journal so much as I used to. When I was in my spin out, I was literally went straight back to basics. I was setting my alarm. How am I feeling? Where am I? What is this about? I literally did it again because that's what works. But I kind of do it in my head. Just like explore it in my head now, and it becomes a lot easier. Mm. But I still, as something comes up, I still do that whole detuning thing. Mm. It's quite a powerful tool because you can't control other people. You can't control their reactions. All you can do is control your reaction.
Well, you can try, but you can drive yourself crazy doing it.
Yeah, and I don't want that.
Well, a lot of people do that. I just had to mention it because that's
what people
spend a lot of their lives doing.
And I've been there. And that's why I say it's like helped me as a parent, because it's kind of what I was doing. But they're not going to live my life the way I want. They've got their own little lives. So I'm just going to watch the show.
I like what you said also about how you appreciated that your mom was doing the best that she knew how to do. And I did very much the same thing with my mother. And when my mom passed about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago. When she passed, in the months leading up to it, I knew that she was about to go. I think I was the only one of my siblings who knew, but I knew. It was pretty obvious to me. I'm kind of amazed that they didn't know, but that's another story. But the point is, I knew that she was going, and I knew that even up until that point in her life, she still had not been able to eliminate the confusion, and I knew what the cause of the confusion was. And I was so sympathetic to her because I knew where it was coming from. It came from her experience growing up.
Yes.
Her confusion came from, basically, she grew up in a time where a female role was clearly defined. And if you had been, if she had had the voice to say it, she would have been in utter rebellion over that role. So she didn't know what to be.
Exactly. But wasn't there a study, like it's only probably in the last 80 years that there's been ever, where people never used to think that your parents had any impact on your life at all.
Oh, absolutely.
Back in the day. So I know when I studied counselling, I kind of got married and I did this artwork and I drew a brick wall and I was like, this is where all this family mess is going to stop. I'm not taking that forward into my family because I think, our parents, again, like I said, I don't have a book about bringing up my children. They didn't have a book about bringing up me. And we all have our past experience. We're just lucky to have found a way to navigate our way through it.
Woohoo. Seriously, that's worth celebrating. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
Well, I know what's something else that's worth celebrating. And that is that you decided to reach out and say you wanted to do Tire Tuesday kind of thing. So thanks for doing a Tire Thursday with me and Dan. I appreciate that.
Oh, it's been amazing. Thank you. And
we'll find more opportunities.
Alex, all the best for tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what she looks like as a bride. I have to admit, I'm not sure what to expect in that regard. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be really
fun. I hope there's some purple in there because it suits everyone. She'll be stunning.
I'd be stunned if it wasn't in there. Seriously. That's like her top color. So if it's not there, it's sure. Like, okay, are you the Alex King that I really know? Well, actually, not much longer. She's going to be Alex Standy pretty soon. So that's a whole nother story. Anyway, well, thank you very much once again. Really appreciate it. Thank you to all of our podcast listeners everywhere. We will see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.